You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside Matty Mo, Matt Modica, the Beast, Jake Seely. I am Greg Sussman. No Nando DeFino the rest of the week. Tomorrow we got another draft special with Jake and the guys. And Friday, the three of us will be back here doing it together. So, that's the plan. What's going on, Matty?
All is good. It's kind of cold outside, but I guess that's been the theme of April this year all across the country. So hopefully there's baseball.
Hopefully there's baseball, man. 25 rainouts thus far this year. In 2016, it's 2 years ago, they had a total of 25 rainouts. We're already at 25. Last year, the total was 39. We're in 25, and it's currently April 19th, I think. So,
I mean, that said, I don't want more domes in baseball. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Jakey, what's happening, man?
What's going on? I don't think we need more. I think we get more retractable domes, though. You could have Milwaukee and Houston and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm all right with that.
That's fine, but we already talk about taxpayer money going towards stadiums, and that's like...
Oh, no. I meant future stadiums. I wasn't talking... Yeah, you're right. I'm not talking about like renovating the stadiums that are out there already and going through all of that nonsense.
Which the whole thing is ridiculous. All these new stadiums... Let the billionaires finance them. I don't want to pay anything out of my pocket. The Steinbrenners and the Wilpons have plenty of damn money.
Rights?
What's up?
All the money they paid for the naming rights? How about that company, too?
Sure. Why do they need my money?
No, I had to send out a check the other day. I wasn't too happy about that.
That's why I voted against it here. They were trying to get a stadium down here in Virginia Beach to try and lure an NBA team. I said, no, I pay enough taxes already. I want to pay more.
I respect it, man. I respect that. I don't.
You know, I think you can do enough with like private financing and other ways. There's plenty of smart business people out there.
And these guys have plenty of money. I was actually just listening to a podcast this morning that all these like high brokers, they all money launder anyway.
Well, but just like everything else is you always want to use like when I was in the movie business, like the, you know, when you go to finance a movie, you always use other people's money, not your own money.
That's smart. That makes a lot of sense. Speaking of other people's money, that's what Jose Bautista is now collecting because right before the show, he signs a deal if he makes the major leagues for $1 million with old friend Alex Anthopoulos, former general manager of Toronto, now the GM in Atlanta. And that's where Jose Bautista is. Signs a minor league deal, reporting to extended spring training there in Florida. And, Matt, the idea is you sign Jose Bautista, and in the release, it's infielder Jose Bautista, who's going to work out at third base, a position he has not played even semi-regularly since 2010.
My prediction is, so I'd say post-All-Star break, like right after the All-Star break, Austin Riley will be playing third base for the Atlanta Braves. So maybe he gets up and then they see what they have. I can't see how you put him at third base, though. I just don't see how you do it. The defense was just god-awful.
All right. Jakey, if Jose Bautista's out there for you in a league, you placing a bid?
It's got to be a deeper league, and it's got to be one where I need third base help, because it sounds like that's their plan, and then you're going to put him there, and yeah, it's been years since he's played there before, but that's the plan. He's not going to play outfield. He's not usurping Acuna, and now the fact that, you know, like I said, it's just going to take one hot week, and Acuna's going to get the call up, but so he's not playing the outfield. The only place for him to go is third base. He's not going to first. He's not going to learn to play first with Freddie Freeman there, so if he's getting to the majors, it's going to be at third base for the Braves. I need specifically third base help. I don't really want him that much of as a corner infielder. Just specifically if I'm starting at third base, you know, maybe I lost Lamb. Maybe my backup was Candelario, who finally, you know, hit a triple last night but hasn't been playing that well. Maybe that, but that's also, I'm thinking, like a 15-team league.
And just real quick on Acuna, I think he's up either so he appears sometime this weekend or early next week. And I think the Braves kind of had to play it this way. It worked out for them that he started off slow in the minors. Just think back a few months ago, they were punished by MLB for what they did with these, you know, kids they were signing and all that. So I think they went
their ex-president's banned for life from baseball.
So I think they went the extra cautious route to say, like, we didn't just call him up on that Friday. And they had the built-in excuse that, you know what, he's not off to a good start. Preston Tucker's doing well and all that. But I think it's just, you know, another couple of days early next
Listen,
week.
Listen, it's honestly a matter of time. He hit a home run last night, first of the year. If he hits another one tonight, he'll be up this weekend. I mean, it's literally that simple. It's funny, Jake, because we hear the Jose Bautista news, like we said, right before we started on the air, and Frankie Stample's downstairs, and he's like, oh, Jose Bautista, oh! And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, do you realize he was terrible last year, terrible the year before? Why are you doing that? He's a big name. Maybe he'll be rejuvenated in Atlanta. In a standard 12-team league, it's not a move you do, right? I mean, I know you just kind of went out and said it, but I just want to make it very, very clear for those listening. In a 12-team league, your average 12-team league, you're not pulling the trigger here, right?
Oh, 12-team league, you need to stash potential. Like, as of right now, look, somebody just tweeted what I was about to say, too. Who was it? It was Rudy Gamble. Same thing I was just about to say, and he's a smart guy. So the only person that's not in the majors right now that should be clogging up your bench is Ronald Acuna. Like, and that's talking about prospects. That includes Jose Bautista. If these guys don't have the upside in a 12-team league to clear roster and be a difference maker, there's no point in your bench. We joked about it the other day with the Greg Jennings thing when Nando said I need a different name for it. But that's the point. Is like, what's Jose Bautista going to do for you even if he gets to the majors? Let's say best case scenario, he gets to the majors. He's the third baseman for the Braves. All right. So for the rest of the season, you hope he hits 12 runs and bats 220. He's basically Curtis Granderson at this point in his career.
Yeah. And look, Rudy is a smart guy, but I will take it a little further. It should be Acuna. It should be Senzel and Gleyber Torres. Those three guys should be on your bench positioned.
I'm not stashing those last two in 12 teamers and 15 teamers.
I guess, but you know what? The thing with Torres is, I mean, I'm really excited for Torres. And as a Met fan, it pains me to see how good the depth the Yankees have built up. And I know he left the other night with a stiffness back or something like that. But I think if he plays today or tomorrow...
He's expected to play today, although they have a 12-hour bus ride tomorrow, so he may not play today. They might give him till Friday.
I think, you know, by Monday he might be up.
It's possible. It's possible, especially with Miguel and Duhar not really hitting. I know he's turned it on a little bit as of late.
And he's playing third base every day.
But that's exactly what I was about to say. It is telling that Gleyber is playing third base right now every day in the minors. I'll say this. 12-team leagues, you don't need Jose Bautista, man. Like, Jake's right. Like, what are you expecting?
Yeah, it's like Carlos Gonzalez. I wouldn't have Carlos Gonzalez on my team in a 12-team league.
Yeah, completely agree with you. I completely agree. Okay, so that's kind of the deal with Jose Bautista. Like we said, signs of the Atlanta Braves, but not something that you're going to want to worry about in your fantasy leagues. Let some other schmuck do it.
I like the terminology.
Yes, thank you. Other schmuck.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. So last night, as many people on the East Coast went to bed, we had a fantastic pitching duel between Patrick Corbin and Johnny Cueto. I mean, it was awesome. It was so good that Patrick Corbin had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning, gets the first two outs. They shift. Ball gets by Brandon Belt, is a half swing, check swing. Can't get over to it. Only hit Corbin allows all game. He was absolutely studly last night.
He was. He's been... But I don't want to. People should not, because he's getting all the love, deservedly so. But Johnny Cueto was just as good. I think he gave up two hits. He had 10 strikeouts. So, I mean, it was all about Ohtani for me last night, and I wound up watching the other game. That's how good that game was. So, the thing with Corbin, the one thing that's really, I mean, everybody knows the slider usage is like insane right now, but how he's dominating right-handed hitting compared to what he's done. Is, you know, that's the main thing. That's the main secret to his success this year.
Jake, are you believing in this Patrick Corbin not nonsense? Like, what he has done this year? I was high on Patrick Corbin. I liked him, but even I didn't think he'd be this good.
I've been buying into Patrick Corbin for the past couple of years. I've been frustrated every single time I did it. He's got the best, or not best, he's got great natural stuff on this rotation. Some of the best on this rotation, but the fact is, what Matt said is the real key, is he's finally been able to avoid the splits that have been a problem, whether or not the humidor effect or whether or not this is the fact that he's just finally learned what it takes to get the batters out on that side of the plate. I think that's the biggest difference here. Like, he's always had this stuff. He's just never had the control, the ability to get the righties out. Now that he has, you're seeing the potential that we always hoped for. Unfortunately, I missed out on him because I'm frustrated for him the past 3 years.
And the trend we're seeing in Major League is with these, breaking ball pitchers becoming more dominant. I mean, Houston, Cleveland, teams like that, the fastball, it's like guys that are going from that, that were doing like 60% or more with the fastball, and you're seeing the change more to like 50%. And that's been a big tell. It's one of the things I liked about Cole, what I expected to happen with like spin to win. And with Corbin, when I wrote him up, the thing has, he's been really good in intervals. It's never been over the course of a full season. And I think the key question is, what do you do with Patrick Corbin right now? Like, what is the right price?
I think it's a fantastic question. I know we were talking about it a moment ago downstairs, and Scott Pianowski, your boy Jake, tweeted this out. He offered a league that is Houston heavy. He's proposed to the Patrick Corbin owner, I'll give you Dallas Keuchel for him. And the Patrick Corbin owner said no. I then proposed to Frank downstairs, just throwing it out there, Masahiro Tanaka for Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin owner says no. What do you think of those two, Jake? Keuchel, Tanaka for Corbin.
There's no way on earth I'm taking Tanaka. You know this. I'm not a Tanaka fan. I was one of the lowest people on him, and obviously not low enough. I can't do the Tanaka thing. It's just the same thing that's happened last year is happening again this year. So there's no way on earth I'm taking Tanaka for Corbin. Keuchel, I would. Keuchel, just because the only thing with Keuchel is injury. It's the fact is I trust Keuchel. Like, Corbin looks amazing so far, and he could be a breakout person. But it also depends on my roster. You know, if Corbin was my fourth starter, I'm not going to trade him for Keuchel because now, you know, potentially I have have a potential winning rotation for the fact he was my fourth guy, and he's having a breakout season. If I need pitching help and I want the more trustworthy person, like maybe I lost somebody, maybe I'm struggling early out of the gate, then I would take Keuchel because I trust Keuchel and I trust his ability of what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, if you watched the game the other night, Paxton Keuchel. Keuchel pitched. He pitched a complete game. He lost.
He's awesome.
But, I mean, Keuchel is really good. And like Jake said, it's all about injury. He's a free agent to be. He's on the best team in baseball. So I think that's fair. I don't know if I needed strikeouts, maybe that's a deciding figure for me. But I still think Keuchel can get you, you know, 6 or 7 strikeouts in starts. He's not going to consistently do that. But he can also, like we saw last year, he could go on runs where he's just dominant and you can't hit him or you can't square him up.
Let me throw one more name out for you when it comes to Patrick Corbin and how good he is. And that is Shohei Ohtani. Blister issues. Matt, would you rather have Shohei Ohtani or Patrick Corbin?
I think if you don't love Ohtani or you're not rooting for him, you're just an a-hole.
Sure.
And you just don't like baseball.
Sure.
That's a good question. I think that's an excellent one. I think I go with Corbin, and here's why.
Okay.
I think Corbin, I don't have to worry about the possibility of the 6-man rotation. I don't have to worry about the possibility of the innings cap. I know somebody's going to come back and say to me, well, he's throwing, 40-something, 50% sliders, he could get injured. If I'm Patrick Corbin and I'm getting a chance to get paid after this year, I'm throwing that slider as much as humanly possible. My arm blows up, it blows up. But this is my way to get paid. So I think I do the Corbin for those reasons.
Jake, what about you?
Yeah, so, well, two things. First is you missed the window to sell the highest you could possibly sell on Ohtani.
Of course.
This is why we always say, try. And that's the thing. Like, at the first week of the season, if you weren't trying to sell Harper, you weren't playing baseball right. And the fact is, not saying you're always going to get a deal done. It's very unlikely you're going to get a deal done. But this is the point of why you tried to sell it, please, because no matter what, Ohtani was never going to be as good as he was for those first couple of starts. It's insane. And it's great, and I'm with Matt, and I'm rooting, and I hope he is that great for the entire season. But to go back to that second point, is the same reason that's why I would take Corbin, is because last year Corbin got 190 innings. He's pitched to 200 innings before. Ohtani, we're hoping he gets 160 and he has this blister. And I was saying the blister issue won't affect him hitting. I don't like the fact that we're forcing that issue, because the value where I want Ohtani is the pitcher. I don't want him to possibly have this issue compounded by the hitting. So I would take Corbin just because I know I'm going to get 190 innings. Ohtani, I'm hoping he gets 160.
I think maybe now's the day after the blister issue and stuff like that. Maybe the Ohtani owner is willing to move
sure.
on now. You know, I'm not saying you're not offering Corbin, but somebody else. I don't know who that is on top of my head, but somebody else. But I would still take, he was going well ahead of him anyway, but Garrett Cole over Patrick Corbin. Oh. And Cole goes tonight.
Jake, you're not exactly Mr. Garrett Cole. Would you rather have Garrett Cole over Patrick Corbin?
Oh, Gerrit Cole, no question. I would have already taken Gerrit Cole over Patrick Corbin, no question. But even as of today, it looks like so far, and I'll ultimately, like, I was wrong. Like, if there's credit to the Astros, because for what they've been able to do with pitchers, look, I didn't think it was the same scenario as Justin Verlander. The biggest thing, what I've always said about Gerrit Cole, is the whips or the whip. And then, you know, you push the guys on base and gives up some home runs. And I thought that would just be carried over to Houston. Well, he's fixed the whip problem. So if there's people on base and he even gives up a home run, it's not going to matter if it's a solo shot.
And I watched very, very little spring training this year. I purposely tried to avoid it. I did see one of like the first games that were aired, and it was an Astro game, and the broadcasters mentioned Gerrit Cole, and they said, what do you think pitching coach Brent Strom would say to him? And he said, he would say spin to win. And that's the motto I've gone with ever since I've heard that.
There you go. How about that? A little breakdown right there, Matt Modica. How about that? Jake, Matt, as when I pointed out Patrick Corbin, he pointed out Johnny Cueto and how good he was coming off the DL. There was definitely concern with Johnny Cueto. He goes on the DL, you're like, oh, man, this is frustrating. And he comes out and just pitches a gem last night. Are you selling high right now on Johnny Cueto, or are you believing?
Immediately. Get Johnny Cueto the hell off my team. I've never been a Cueto fan. He's a wind-dependent starter who doesn't have a very good strikeout rate.
I'm not selling it. I mean, look, if somebody gave me a offer that made sense, I would, but I'm not selling high just to sell.
All right, so there you go. The right offer. What is the right offer, Matt?
Somebody offered me Luis Castillo. I'm doing that.
I'll do that. Jake, you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, there you go. All right, we'll take a break. We talked about two awesome starting pitchers from last night. Coming up, some of the starting pitchers that weren't so good. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stick around. More on FST right after this.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Back with you, Fantasy Sports Today, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's get into Shohei Ohtani here for a moment, Matt. Last night, everyone was all excited for Shohei Ohtani against David Price, and it took one batter before the excitement waned a little bit.
Some shot.
It was some at bat, and then it was some shot by Mookie Betts.
The at bat really needs to be emphasized.
Absolutely.
The way he... You know, I mean, look, the Boston Red Sox announcers went a little nuts last night.
So I heard, I didn't hear that. I only heard the Angels broadcast.
They were saying that, I was listening to the Angels broadcast as well, but it came out to be that they said that Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball.
He's really good.
No, he's one of the top guys in baseball.
Sure.
And in fantasy baseball as well. But Mike Trout is the best player.
Yes, he is.
Bryce Harper is probably the second best player.
Sure.
And that's not a knock on Mookie Betts. I'm a huge Mookie Betts fan, and, you know, he went on to hit three home runs. But I was grateful. As an Ohtani owner, I was so grateful that Socia, and it was the right thing to do regardless if I owned him, if I played fantasy or not, to get him out of there after two innings, the quick hook, because he would have got the beatdown that Bard wound up taking after, because he just had no feel for his pitches, the blister, whatever. It wasn't going to be his night. And he would have got teed off on. So if you own Ohtani, you were grateful.
Be very, very thankful, because if you watched any of that game, I was texting Mike and Frank that he had thrown 60 pitches in two innings, and it went up to 66 before it was all said and done. Very, very lucky that for whatever reason, whether you believe in the blister or not, that he went out. Before I continue on Ohtani, Steve Cormier asked a really good question. Inside our YouTube chat, check it out, Fantasy Sports Network YouTube account. And that is, what do you think about trading Patrick Corbin for Madison Bumgarner?
I mean, it's not a bad idea, but I just can't do it. I'm not going to trade Corbin the way he's pitching for somebody that's coming back in most likely a month or another 5 weeks. I mean, we saw Bumgarner rush back last year, and he wasn't the same. He's just pitching too good. I can't do it.
Yeah, I asked somebody earlier today for Kyle Hendricks for Madison Bumgarner. He kind of laughed at me. I wouldn't do Corbin for Bumgarner right now. Do we have Jake back yet? Jakey, would you trade away Patrick Corbin for Madison Bumgarner?
Depends on what I'm looking for here. I got to go back to what I said earlier. If it's Corbin and he was my fourth starter and my top three are fine and they've all hit and everybody's rolling right and I'm looking to win my league, then I would do that. I'd probably try to get a little bit more out of it back. But if I'm looking long term, like the fact is, if Bumgarner comes back healthy, and what do we know of him? He's going to be an SP1. Corbin, even at his best, is probably not quite on that level. So it depends on what your outlook is.
Okay.
If you gave me maybe like a Bumgarner Fulte, you threw like Fulte in the deal or something.
I love Fulte. I love my Fulte Nevich. We'll get to him in a moment. Shohei Ohtani simply just did not have it at all last night, Jake. And it's really funny because like I was saying, I was watching the Angels broadcast. And at first they kept blaming, you know, he was supposed to go Sunday and now he went Tuesday and this is two extra days off and this is it. And then it became a blister issue. If you just watched him, like, maybe it was a blister issue. Like, he could not throw that off-speed stuff at all last night. The fastball was still 99. It was getting there. But any breaking stuff did not even get into the zone. You said it a moment ago that that best ever window to trade Shohei Ohtani is probably gone. But now, is this a long-term concern with Ohtani that he blisters? We saw it destroy Aaron Sanchez last year. We saw it certainly give Rich Hill a ton of hiccups last year. Is this a legit concern for Ohtani?
No, so the blister, of course. I mean, we used the blister with Rich Hill. You can throw that out there. Hopefully it's not to that level and it ends part of a season. Not going to take it to the other level. I'm going to give something to Eno Saris, is what he said last night. My bigger concern is they said that nobody was swinging at a split finger. The Red Sox were staying off it completely. Now, that's concerning because if the book's already out on stay away from a splitter and sit on everything else, that's the bigger concern because, you know, similar to what we were talking about before with Lucchese and all that type of stuff, and people figure out his wonky delivery and then just start sitting on his fat, flat fastball, similar to the closer that used to jump off the mound or the Korean closer that had that double pump that people were saying he was actually balking. Like, once people figure out your intricacies, if they get that under wraps and know what to watch for, that's my bigger concern, because now, if the, like I said, if the book's out and stay away from a splitter and everything else is easy to hit, that's worrisome.
I mean, look, I'm not that worried now. I mean, Jake makes good points here. I think I do agree on one thing. I do not like when pitchers get out of their rhythm, whatever it is, 5 days, once a week. That's why I've never been a fan. Like, the Mets were always talking about doing a six-man rotation. And you show the pushback from the pitchers in that rotation. It is, you know, players are creatures of habit and stuff like that. You have routines. I mean, I'm not superstitious, except for when I gamble or when I play fantasy sports. Only time I'm ever superstitious.
And I get that. And I think it's a fair point. I think the fact that they're laying off the split finger, maybe it was a little bit easier last night because you could see it.
That too, because when it's on, it's difficult
to lay off.
I mean, you know when certain pitches are coming and, you know, somebody's got a devastating slider, you're still swinging at it, you know, because it keeps coming in. You think, you know, it's not going to come in that far and then it just drops off the plate. Oh, just quick note, Chris Iannetta hit a solo home run.
There you go. Chris Iannetta hit a solo home run. What's the score of that game? 1-0?
1-0. Rocks.
Rockies. 1-0. We got to remember what team Chris Iannetta plays for. It's not easy. 1-0 Rocks in Pittsburgh. Let's go back to the other side here now, Jake, to another pitcher that pitched really well last night, and that was Lance McCullers. McCullers lets the home run early to who? Oh, Jed Lowrie, right. That's right. Yeah.
Doesn't he lead the American League in RBI?
I believe he does. I believe he does. But listen, it's going to slow down. You don't want to own him. You know, the best has already come.
You're right.
No, I'm not right. Since I said it 2 days ago, he's hit two home runs.
It depends like on formats, too. Look, he should be owned even in a 12-team.
He's leading the league in RBI.
Right now, he should be owned in a 12-team. He definitely, like in a 15-team
league,
he's gold.
We'll talk about this in June.
He's gold. But you've got to ride him for now.
I don't care about June. I care about right now.
I mean, I agree Jake saying he's going to get hurt and all this.
Sure,
and he's not gonna...
but right now he's hitting.
Yeah, I never said he was going to hurt. I was just saying he's just not going to play like this.
But I don't care what happens in June. I care what happens now. That's when I own him.
I mean, for me, if I look at the middle infield, you know, like the second baseman and stuff, once you start going, it's not that good. You know? I'd rather ride with him.
I'm not saying bench him.
I'd rather ride with him for now and then figure something out. Or hopefully I have a a Torres or somebody else that I could insert later on.
To me, Jake, and I've said this, I said it to you earlier this week, said on the BFFs as well, I'm going to figure out June and June, right? Like, whether I have Torres or not, I'm going to figure out June and June. All I know is right now, Jed Lowry is leading the league, leading the American League in RBIs. He's hit home runs and back-to-back games. He's hot. Let me ride the wave. Let me enjoy it.
That's fine. You can. All I'm saying, like, I'll give you a better comparison. Like, why? Like I said, like, I'm not telling you to bench him.
Okay.
But I'm looking at, so my Tout Wars team right now.
Yep.
My second baseman is Altuve, so forget that. But sure. My shortstop is Cozart, if we wanted to move him around and, you know, figure him out middle infield wise. But my other middle infielder is Andrelton Simmons. So that's my point. Is I'm not dropping or moving either one of those to plug in Jed Lowry just because he's hot.
I put in Jed Lowry right now as of Andrelton Simmons. Absolutely.
I mean, for now, I'm
what
not.
What do you mean you wouldn't? You're the hottest hitter in the league. You're gonna just stand on ceremonies
because
and play
I'm not
Simmons?
Gonna. No, my point is, I'm not going to make a move to go grab Jed Lowry and bench Andrelton Simmons for a week. I'm just not going to make that move and spend the fab to go get him.
I'm not going to cut Andrelton Simmons. I think he's a good player. I think he does in fantasy give you, you know, he'll give you some home runs, some stolen bases, and he's on a good offense. So, but I would, if I could just acquire, like if I could have acquired Jed Lowry, say last week on the cheap, and I could insert him in right now, I'm going to play him while he's hot.
I mean, it's really that simple. I totally agree with Matt that, like, when it didn't really cost you all that much, I'm not saying to drop Andrelton Simmons. I'm not. But, you know, Andrelton Simmons, super small sample size, of course. He's over his last 11. Jed Lowry over his last 11 at-bats has been really damn good. So if I had the ability to just bench Simmons for right now and put Lowry in for right now, I'm going to do that. All right, cool. I think I got his agreement. Anyway, Lance McCullers, which is how this whole Jed Lowry conversation got started. Jed Lowry hits the home run off Lance McCullers, and then that's it. Lance McCullers really shuts this team down. You had A.J. Hinch come out of the dugout in the seventh inning, and Lance McCullers was like, damn, I wanted this inning. And he left him in, and he got that inning. McCullers was awesome last night, I believe, a career high. Tied a career high for 11 strikeouts. Really, really good. And he needed it, Matt.
I'm excited that he was allowed to stay in the game because he's got fantastic stuff. That curveball is just crazy.
Oh my god,
good.
It's nasty.
And I'm a big fan, but you know, you see on Twitter when he pitches bad, the haters come out.
Yeah.
When he pitches good, the supporters, he's a stud and this and that. He is, the potential is just
oozes.
Mm-hmm. But he's got to be consistent.
Yeah.
He's got to pitch 150 innings. It can't be another 110-inning season. It can't be the inconsistency. You can't have a 137 whip. And I'm rooting for the kid. I love watching him pitch. And I'm very excited that he did get to pitch the seventh inning. And we can talk about what happened after.
We'll do that in just a second. But double-digit strikeouts in two of the four games he's pitched this year. 10 strikeouts in his first game, 11 strikeouts last night. The other two games, 6 and 7. We know Lance McCullers can strike people out.
When he's unhittable.
He really is. And when he's on, that means he's under control. In those two starts I just mentioned where he had 10 and 11 strikeouts, he walked with one guy in both of those starts. The other games, walk three, and then the disaster against Minnesota, he walked six batters. That's where he allowed eight runs. What has bothered me in the past about Lance McCullers, when I've been a McCullers owner, is not being able to go seven innings. And that's why you said this is so important to you, seeing A.J. Hinch come out and be like, yeah, finish the job, do your thing. Because it's rare, and I'll go back in the game log in a moment, but it's rare that he's able to just go these seven innings and smooth sailing here. You're so often, you'll see those five and two-thirds, maybe six.
I'm just shocked like he didn't make Ken Giles pitch the seventh.
Lance McCullers, Jake, if you're here, how encouraged are you by that performance?
I'm not really putting too much into one performance for Lance McCullers. We know what Lance McCullers is. He's got plenty of strikeout ability, but he also walks a lot of people. Last night was terrific, 11 and 1, but yeah, more often than not, you're going to get your handful of two, three, four walks. And you know, it's like similar to, I'm going to say, more strikeout upside, but Gio Gonzalez. It's basically who he is. He's a better strikeout pitcher than Gio, but the same problem is like where Gio will give you 8-3. You know, McCullers might give you 10-3 or 10-4, but that's the problem. And that's why he doesn't last long at the games, because strikeouts take a lot of pitches often, and then walks obviously take even more. So that's the problem. Lance McCullers, I'm always going to like him. He's a number three type of pitcher for me because you get out with potential, but you also worried about exactly what you said. the short innings out there. And if he does, if he gives up two runs in five innings, it looks fine, but that's actually worse than somebody, going seven with three.
I don't really think I totally agree with Jake on this point. Like, I think he's a really good number three in fantasy because those strikeouts are going to be really awesome. You're going to have outings like we just saw for the seven innings. I don't know if we're going to be able to ever trust him as a number two.
I think, when you drafted him, you drafted him on his potential. Yeah. You're still drafting him on his potential.
Only 24 years old.
So, as a three in a deep league, you have to do it, but I'd rather have him as my, in an ideal world, he'd be my four. Because it's just the trust. Can he do it? I want him to do it. I'm going to root for him to do it. When he's on, like I said, he's unhittable. It's fun to watch. It really is. And if this changeup becomes advanced too, that's two pitches he gets to add to that. So, it is there for him. Let's see if he can put it all together.
Obvious question becomes Lance McCullers or Patrick Corbin?
Right now, I'm sticking with Patrick Corbin.
Patrick Corbin. Jake?
Flip a coin.
Flip a coin. Okay, so that's a really close one for you. Okay.
For me, it's just, it's going to take a lot. But, if he has a couple of bad outings where the walks just pile up,
There's
so many options there. It's such a good team. And Corbin might be the best pitcher on that team right now. And even if it's just for 1 year, that's all you need.
That's all I care about.
You don't care about next year.
Absolutely not. I care about this year. I care about this moment, to be perfectly honest with you. Matt wanted to get into what happened afterwards, and that was Ken Giles is what happened afterwards, and Chris Devinsky, and there's all this confusion in the back end of the Houston bullpen. Jake, how do you read it right now?
I don't. What's the point? We have no idea. You said there's confusion. I don't read it any what way.
Well, I think this is one of the situations where, unfortunately, you kind of have to read it because this is arguably the best team in baseball, right? Like, this isn't some
crap. Because that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to buy any of these pitchers. I have Ken Giles. I'm not dropping him. If somebody actually wanted to come get him from me, you make an offer. You can have him. That's my point. Is that I'm not going to try and buy this bullpen because there's no idea what's going on here.
Last night, McCullers goes to seven innings, as we said, 11 strikeouts, one run, just one hit allowed. Will Harris comes in, pitches the eighth, and then it's just Chris Devinsky in the ninth, a clean ninth inning. It wasn't like he pitched two innings for this save. Ken Giles was not called upon. Devinsky comes in and gets his second save of the year.
And, I didn't draft Giles anywhere this year. Look, if you look at the skills and you didn't watch the playoffs never happened. The skills were still tremendous coming into the year. But April and October were awful. And he's had bad Aprils before. If I, gun to my head, I had to pick one guy to lead the team in saves at the end of the year. I don't know what the number would be, but if I had to pick one guy, I think it's Giles. But if you own Chris Devinsky right now, you're pretty damn happy.
Mm. Do we have any idea what AJ Hinch said after the game about this or no?
I do not.
Mm. Okay. All right. I think you have to be nervous. I think you're very, very nervous.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're a Giles owner, but like Jake said, you cannot drop the guy. He can put him on your bench and all that. You can't drop him right now. It's a tough hold, and you just got to do it.
You don't have a I'm with you. I don't think you have any choice. I think Chris Devinsky's your guy. I think he's a save. Who would you rather have, Jake, right now? Chris Devinsky or Bud Norris?
Devinsky. Okay. They didn't pay that much money to not go to Holland when he's ready.
Okay.
That's the whole point. It's the $14 million, but the 17 strikeouts to one walk by Bud Norris. 4-for-4 and save up to. And last year he was really good in the role. I think he got injured, went to the DL, and he just blew up down the end. So yes, Holland when he gets his act together is going to be anointed the closer. Bud's going to have to slip, and that's a very good possibility that will happen. But until then, if you got Bud Norris on the cheap right now, you're pretty damn happy.
Yeah, you are. You're obviously extremely, extremely happy with what you paid for Bud Norris and what you're getting. Probably the same goes for Chris Devinsky at this point. I'm not sure you expected the saves that you're getting right now. You expected good ratios. Probably not anything in the saves category. Let's take a break here. We're going to come back. We've got about 20 minutes left in the program. So when we come back, we're going to get into the Cubs starters a little bit because there's a lot here to take away. Matt's laughing, and for good reason. A lot more confusion. We'll talk about the Cubs starters when we come back. It's FST on FNTSY.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
The Cubs, much like the Astros, supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball.
I have an update, though.
Yeah, give me an update.
Believe it or not, Sin Shu Chu's fifth homer of the day. The day would have been pretty damn good. But, I mean, look, five homers from Sin Shu Chu, and it's not even May 1st.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that. Underrated.
Said it all preseason. One of the most underrated players in baseball.
So I will definitely give you that. You 100% did it, and I laughed when you said it. But you were right there, man. You watched Jin Soo Chu, and right now, he's just knocking him down, man. A home run, back-to-back days now, leading off for the Rangers, plays in a good ballpark, of course. Unbelievable how good he's been.
Yeah, and he was cheap. He was super cheap.
People got so hung up on that the injured riddled season that they forgot how good he could be.
I agree. I think not that I'm exactly age biased, but like I think you look at Shin Soo Chu and you see he's 35 years old and you're like, I don't want this dude. It's been really good. When he stays healthy, he's really good. And that's the truth. Like, it'll probably surprise you to know he's got 1,300 hits in his short MLB career.
You want to know?
Isn't that short? It's been 10 years now.
Just a sidetrack for a quick second. What I was pissed off about was Monday. Eric Thames on Sunday, like, tweaked his knee or his groin or something. So he stayed in for one more at bat. They took him out. So I was just hoping it was maybe the weather. It was, like, 40 degrees at Citi Field. And, you know, maybe it was just he needed, you know, 24 hours, you know.
Sure.
He doesn't play Monday night. He's not in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So we bench him.
And yesterday he hit
the
home run.
He gets in the lineup yesterday, and you just knew Eric Thames was going to home run versus the Reds. I just wanted to vent.
You just wanted the opportunity to vent.
Yes.
All right, fair enough. So I'll do some venting as well then. So the Cubs pitchers, overall, I liked them a lot coming in. Not John Lester so much, but I was in on Kyle Hendricks. I thought he was relatively as safe as they come. Certainly like Jose Quintana. Yu Darvish I liked a lot. And then Tyler Chatwood, I was saying, you know, well, I'll take a flyer on him. I remember my last pick of my draft, I had this conversation with you, Matt, and it was between Mike Foltynewicz and Tyler Chatwood. And I took Folty, and the next day, you're like, I probably would have taken Chatwood, but, you know, I like Folty, too. That's what you said. And I remember the first waiver run we had, I had a claim in because Matt told me he likes Chatwood more than Folty. And I didn't get him because I didn't bid enough, so I kept Folty. Someone else got Chatwood. And I feel pretty good about it right now. All right, Tyler Chatwood last night. Where was the control, Jake? What happened?
Couldn't tell you. That's been his problem in the past. It's not like this is a new thing with Chatwood. Is the strikeout appeal and you're hoping moving to a new team, getting out of Colorado would help, but it's the same Chatwood we've seen before. The fact is Chatwood struggled on the road and just as much as he struggled at home. Sometimes he was better at home. So this has always been his, I hate the term, the bugaboo. That's basically what it is.
Interesting line here, Matt. 4 2/3. He allowed just one hit, two runs, 7 strikeouts. I tell you that, you're like, oh, that's a pretty good line. 7 walks. Tyler Chatwood was basically the same as Harlan Garcia right now.
Yeah, here's the thing. Jake's right. On the road, he's had these, like, you know, 1-something ERAs, but a 4-something walks per 9. Mm-hmm. And coming into the season, his career, or at least the last couple of seasons, his first pitch strike percentage has been, like, god-awful, like 53.5%, 54%, something like that. This year, it's now 60%, which is like league average. Yet, he has a 19% walk percentage, which is like mind-boggling. That's just insane. Like, to be in a rotation and pretty much be walking 20% of the batters is just, that can't be sustainable. It just can't.
I'm with you. What about the other Cubs pitchers here, though, Matt? I'll start with my guy, Kyle Hendricks.
Well, I watched the Saturday game.
Yeah.
Can I switch it to Jose Quintana?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were saying, I was watching actually the Braves broadcast, And they were saying that the tell for Quintana is if he's not working fast, like if he's taking
time. Right.
And he was also like, you know, the velocity, not that he's a fireball or anything, but the velocity was down too. Now, was it just the weather and stuff? Because I do like Quintana a lot this year. I mean, you saw what happened, the move to the NL last year. It's the Cubs. The Cubs are going to be the best team in that division. I don't care. Unless Milwaukee gets like two aces, they're going to be the best team. And Josh Hader can't pitch two innings every night. So they're the best team there. So I want to see if it was just, you know, because Joe Maddon made he went on a rant and that game should have never been played on Saturday. And the Cubs were down like 8-1 and came back and won it like 10-8. So Quintana is somebody I need to monitor.
Jake, Jose Quintana, are you monitoring him? Are you concerned about him? Are you going out and getting him right now? Are you trying to sell him? Where are you in Jose Quintana?
I'll go out there and trade for him. Quintana's always been, you know, somebody who's gone through rushes every single year, pretty much. And the fact is, Jose Quintana is also underrated at the same time. I think now's a really good time to get him because the people who are always kind of cool on him, you know, not very excited, maybe have them on a team and are willing to just say, you know what? Well, this is why I never wanted Jose Quintana. And then, you know, similar to the argument before about you trying to catch on to somebody at the end of the hot streak and you missed most of it. Mm-hmm. Well, these are the opportunities you look for. You look for a pitcher who's possibly already gone through his worst. You want him right now. Giancarlo Stanton is always miserable in April. Go get him now. If you get these guys and avoid this and you get the stats for the rest of the year, you're getting way better than who he really is.
Jake's 100% right in the fact that this is probably the best. If you believe in him, Quintana, the best time to buy him. Because his owner, like you said, if the owner, say, wasn't a big Quintana guy, but that was the best pitcher on the board at that time, and he took him coming off of that start and stuff, because it was pretty bad. I watched it. Well, it's the time to get him now.
Well, let me kind of follow up on that with both of you. I mentioned Kyle Hendricks a second ago. Now, Kyle Hendricks hasn't been, like, atrocious by any means, but, you know, he... not really striking guys out. Not that you expect Kyle Hendricks to. He's having some trouble going deep into ball games. Or would you buy, sell, or hold on Kyle Hendricks, Jake?
I'm not looking to buy. I mean, if I'm going to get it cheap, I will. But I'm not looking to. This last year, Kyle Hendricks kind of lost what he brought as value. Was he never strikes at anybody, but you got him for his ratios. Well, he kind of lost that a little bit last year, and he looks to like not really have it again this year. So I'm off on Kyle Hendricks. Unless, again, you're going to give him to me cheap, you're going to give me as fourth, fifth starter in my rotation price, then I'll buy for that, but I'm not super excited about it.
Yeah, going into last season, I thought Hendricks was like a super safe number two. And then after drafting him on quite a few teams, I was watching him throw 85. He was never somebody that was living 92 or anything, but he went from like 88 to like 85, and that was just terrifying. I was like, can this guy survive at that? I think his window... The margin of error is really narrow from now. But I do think if I get a bit of a discount, I'll buy him. I think that works out. And as we see the last couple seasons, even last year, he's pitching back at like 87, maybe 87.5. If he's doing that, I feel good that you'll get the numbers that he's been able to put up.
The final, well, not the final, because you got John Lester too, but Yu Darvish comes over and he's had his own struggles as well. This weekend, these guys, Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana, and Yu Darvish, all in Colorado. So, let me get your overall thoughts, Matt, on Yu Darvish, and then I want you to tell me if you're going to start and sit these guys if you have the ability. So, first, Yu Darvish, what do you think? Buy, sell, or hold?
You know, I've been a Yu Darvish like fanboy, if you can use that term. I've really always wanted to be in on him. This is the first year I kind of pulled back. And he went to the Cubs, which you're like, okay, great team and all that. There's a little hesitation there on him. If I could get him now at a discount, I'm probably going to buy him. I do think the strikeouts will come and he'll get all that. I like the team construct. I just didn't want to draft him where I had to take him.
Right.
He wasn't in the top 15 pitchers for me as far as starters. But, you know, if somebody's going to give me that little discount, I'll jump in and take him. And all my Cubs pitchers are benched this week.
There you go. Answer both questions in one.
That's an easy
one for you.
Yeah,
all right. Jake, Yu Darvish, you buy, sell, or holding? And what are you doing with those Cubs pitchers this weekend?
I'm buying Yu Darvish. Okay. Similar to... to what we talked about so far. You know, you get the worst out of the way. I definitely think he's better than this, and I'll start him. I'll start him in Colorado. If I have your Darvish, I'll mention him ever. I'll suffer through it.
Wow. Okay. So you and then Quintana and Hendricks.
If those I would bench in Colorado.
All right, so you Darvish is the one guy.
I do like the mentality. I'm pretty much a guy that the core that I draft as far as my starting pitchers.
Yep,
it's really got to be like Colorado, or you know, I'm trying to make another extreme, but it's pretty much they're going to be in there every week for the most part.
Okay, so there you go. That's the deal with the coast pitchers.
You know who's not going to be in there?
Who?
You remember what I told you about on Tuesday? Taiwan Walker, see ya.
Yeah, Taiwan Walker has that forearm injury, which turns into UCL injury. Which turns into Tommy John surgery, indeed.
And he said he was optimistic.
Well, I'm optimistic for you next year, too. All right, that's it. We're done on digital properties. Of course, you can hear the podcast or listen live on the radio for the next 8 minutes or so. BFFs with Frank and Mike, myself. That's up next. We'll see you a little bit later on. Digital, YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, so on and so forth. Ta-ta. Now, Taiwan Walker. I'm not happy,
you should never root for anybody.
Never. I'm not going to even say but. However, I had zero shares of Taiwan Walker anywhere because I was not a believer.
I had zero shares as well, but once that humidor came into effect,
you're intrigued.
I wanted to get some because he was one of the guys that you would think would benefit the most because on the road, his breaking stuff was so much better. And if the humidor and the ball was going to be... play in his favor, he would be somebody to benefit. Like, Zach Godley wasn't going to benefit as much from the humidor because he's a ground ball guy and all that kind of stuff. So, it's unfortunate. I understand why people liked him. And he's just going to be one of those guys right now that never really reached that potential.
Jake?
I don't know what the question was. Because Matt just kind of jumped in. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. There wasn't really a question.
Well, there's no real question. I just thought if you had any, you know, long-term opinions or short-term opinions on Taiwan Walker. That's all.
Oh, no. This is, I was making the joke about Tuesday. Like, I didn't have him anywhere because this is something that we expected. Taiwan Walker was going to miss time. It's
sure.
For him, for his career, I don't want to see this happen. But look, this is what we knew about Taiwan Walker. He gets hurt every year.
Yeah, it's brutal. You feel bad for him, obviously.
Update.
You get an update.
Danny Valencia has taken Matt Boyd deep.
I saw that one. Oh, it's Matt Boyd Day.
I thought you were going to talk about Sean Rodriguez just tying it up for the Pirates.
I bet Sean Rodriguez.
Oh, no, they took the lead. There was a guy on base. It's actually 2-1 Pirates.
All right,
two run. Sean Rodriguez and David Freese.
I mean, shout out to Sean Rodriguez.
Yeah.
The career, the longevity of the career, and he's made himself into a really nice utility type kind of guy for like the National League, and especially for like a Pirates team that can use him infield, outfield, platoon him and stuff like that. So, you know.
How old is Sean Rodriguez?
Oh, my God, and he's got a man bun.
Of course, he's had one for a while.
See that right there?
Sean Rodriguez is only 32 years old.
I was going to say 34.
He's 32.
The way you said it, I was going to add like a year or two on.
He's 32 years old. I always thought he'd be better than he is.
Yes, I agree.
I thought so with the Angels. Then I thought so with the Rays, especially. I didn't remember this. I didn't remember him being on the Braves last year. Did you?
I thought he was with the Pirates.
So he was, and then either he got released or traded.
Maybe they probably, probably got released. I mean, why would the Braves trade for him?
Yeah. 15 games with the Braves. No recollection.
It wasn't like the Braves were like, you know, trying to get into
Batted 162 with them. Not so good. So that's Sean Rodriguez. Danny Valencia, another name that's bounced around the league forever. Had some power. Home runs.
He really defined a nice role for him, though.
Valencia did, yeah.
Yes.
He was really hot a couple of years ago at the A's. Speaking of the A's, Jake, Stephen Piscotty, ever since I dropped him, he hits every day.
I told you not to.
You did tell me not to. You are 100% right with that.
Yeah, what the hell was the deal with Mark Connor and stuff? Let's get Dustin Fowler up, hopefully, in the next week or two.
Please, I dropped him for Frenchie Cordero. Okay, with that. Stole a base last night, Frenchie did
steal a base, and I'm really going to hope that Perella starts playing some second base. I mean, I'm shocked that Will Myers is possibly going to be back in front.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised. I just looked this up.
Well, being that we mentioned this game last night.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Kenley Jansen.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if this is coming up on the next show.
It is.
So we'll just touch on it lightly.
Touch on it all you want.
You know, I was kind of feeling a little good.
You're feeling a little bit better.
And now I'm ready to jump out the window.
I know, Jake, you were more concerned than Matt was when it came to Kenley Jansen. How high is that red alert now?
You got to think it's like a 9 out of 10 now. The fact is, decreased velocity, swinging strike rate is down. Everything is down. He's hitting the zone less. He's getting more caught. Like, every possible concern you could find is there. And the walks are there. And the home runs are there. And it's just, it's snowballing to this point. I honestly, look, we know he's a better pitcher than this. I honestly am going to go back to what I said 2 weeks ago. I think there's something wrong. Like, there's, that's, you know what? Unless he's just completely lost it, which seems not plausible, but maybe, you know, I don't know, but unless he's just completely lost it, there's got to be something wrong here, and that's what's been my biggest concern, is because he's going to hit a DL and possibly be out for some time.
Your boy Jaime Candelario hit a home run.
So, hi, Jamer!
Hey!
Jamer! Jamer!
Yeah, okay. I'm really concerned
sure
here.
Nick Castellanos.
I was hoping it was Nick Castellanos. I was hoping it was Miguel Cabrera. But Eric Hosmer led off the inning with a home run. Christian Villanueva almost hit a home run.
Sure.
And was it Chase Headley got a double? So, I mean, Chase Headley getting a double is really telling as well. So, it is, who is going to be the guy? Is it Field? Is it Baez? That's going to be the interesting thing. I think he needs to go on a 10-day DL.
Castellanos got out, by the way.
Boo.
Over two on the day. Miggy.
3-1 Pirates.
3-1 Pirates? What happened?
Somebody hit a double. I don't even know who it is. Whoever's batting behind Diaz.
Whoever's bad at mind, I don't know who this person is. It's Max Moroff.
I don't like
Max Moroff with the RBI double. How about that?
Like, Gregory Polanco was out of line today. It was a routine day off. He's 26 years old. I know he's had some injuries in the past.
I hate that, Matt.
Well, hold on. It was not a routine day off for Gregory Polanco. Let's be very, very clear.
Oh, no, that's what it said in the thing that I read. Okay.
All right. Let's be very, very clear what this is for Gregory Polanco. Let me do some math quickly. 8, 13. 13 plus 8 is 21. 26. 26 plus 6 is 32. This is a day off against the lefty because Gregory's 3 for his last 32.
Yeah, look.
That's what this is.
I don't care. With that lineup they have, Gregory Polanco needs to play 157 games this year.
I'm just telling you what it is.
And he doesn't need a day off in April.
He's 3 for his last 32.
You want to tell
he's batting under 200.
You want to tell me June 12th they're facing Clayton Kershaw? Okay, give him a day off.
He's batting under 200.
Yeah, Kyle Freeland.
I'm just telling you why he had the day off. It's a lefty. He's 3 for his last 32. He's batting 197.
Ever get any better?
I think it clears.
You know who else doesn't need a day off? Why are they giving Rosario a damn day off for Jose Reyes? That's like chopping it pitches out there.
That pinch hitting for Reyes in that spot. I forget if they had anybody on the bench, but that was killer. That was their opportunity.
Now, what's going to happen to Florio if you lose today?
Mets get swept. I'm fighting Florio.
On Friday.
You're going to see me appear my first appearance on
BFF. I cannot wait. I'm going to root against the Mets tonight. I'm sorry. I just am. That's it. We're done. For the Beast, Jake Seeley. For Matty Moe, I'm Greg Sussman. BFFs are next. Thanks so much for watching and listening. We will see you tomorrow.